Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone out there in Blog Talk Radio Land. This is your host and friend, the Sand Tiger, DJ Southeast Men, coming at you all the way from a place called Durham, North Carolina. And this is Black by Color only on CNM Radio. On this show, I will discuss current events and issues that affect the black race, and I will pick on the apostles of blackness. Hopefully, you'll get something from this show. If you have a question or a comment, make sure you season it well with respect, or I'll push the kick button and you will suffer the curse of the fruit bat. So don't come here being a fruit bat, as this is a fruit bat free program. You're listening to Black by Color only. Hello, everybody out there. Got your ears on. Hope today finds you doing well. If you would like to be a guest to call into the show, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. That is 646-478-5284. And you can call in and discuss anything related to the subject matter, but I will give you a word of warning. I will not accept character assassinations, ad hominem attacks, some of the insults that people like to throw, excessive profanity, things of that sort. If you think you want to engage in those type of activities, I will push the kick button and you will go bye-bye. Same thing with my chat room. If you come in talking nonsense in the chat room, I will push the ignore button and, you know, you won't be able to make any dialogue on the chat room, in the chat room, you know. So, but just keep that in mind. I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me. Just be respectful in your interactions on this program. So I hope everybody is doing well out there once again. This week has been, well, let's just say this week has continued the craziness that we seem to see on a daily basis here in this country of ours. Of course, this week is the Olympics, and I used to be someone who would look forward to the Olympics, watch the, you know, the opening ceremonies, watch the track and field and everything, but the aspect of Olympics that has ruined it for me, as with all sports, is the politics that seem to be seeping in into this venue. Politics is ruining everything, and I was telling someone earlier this week, I said, I want my country back, because there used to be a time I could watch sports and wouldn't have to be worried about the politics, and the politics, it has really ruined everything to me. And like I told people before, I think there's a reason why politics and poison begin with the same letter of the alphabet. You know, politics has really ruined everything. It has poisoned everything. We can't have a sensible dialogue anymore because of politics. And it's gotten to the point of if you don't have the same point of view that I have, then I don't want to get along with you. You're stupid. I can't stand you. You know, whatever. You need to be dead. I wish I, you know. And it used to be a time where you could dialogue no matter how vehemently. You could dialogue with one another. But in the end, you could still be friends. It's not like that anymore. It's almost like you get into a, if you try to explain your point of view, the other side doesn't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. They have no time for you. And they call you stupid, you're dumb, you know, you need to learn this, you need to learn that. And let me say something too. Both sides do it. Liberals and conservatives do it. However, I will say this. By far, the conservatives seem to have more a grasp on common sense than the liberals do. The conservatives will be more willing to listen to you than the liberals are, way more able to listen to you than the liberals are. Although you do have some of those bad apples in the conservatives that engage in the same type of activities as the liberals do, but the liberals are the masters of it. The liberals are the masters of aggressive tactics when it comes to explaining their point of view. Don't get me wrong, the conservatives do it too. But the liberals are the absolute masters at aggressive dissertation. And this has really ruined everything. For me, you know, I'll be 53 years old in about 2.5 months. And I've never seen the atmosphere as belligerent and as polluted as it is these days. And I grew up in the 70s and the 80s. A lot went on then. You know, you had the Watergate scandal. You had Nixon resigning. You had the election of President Carter. Then you had Ronald Reagan. And, you know, we were going through the Cold War, the nuclear threat going on and whatever. So, you know, we went through some stuff when I was coming up. But I would say we were more united as a nation back in the 70s and the 80s than we are now. And one of the aspects I can't stand about politics is how it divides us as a people. That's one of the things I can't stand about politics. You know, you got family members, they say, man, I don't want nothing to do with you because you think a certain way. You got friends, breaking up friendships. I don't want anything to do with you because you think a certain way. And that's the aspect that, because, with, you know, just to put a, not to complicate the situation, both sides have their right and their wrong. They do. No one's perfect. But one of the things about being, this is why I believe that a lot of powers that be, they don't like individuality. Because if you're a person and you can think for yourself, people take that as a threat, you know, especially if it goes against their point of view. They won't say, okay, I understand you think like that. I beg to differ, but hey, we can still get along even though I differ with your point of view. It's more like, how dare you disagree with my point of view? And a lot of times when you say something that people disagree with, it almost seems like you're insulting their intelligence. They take it personally. I don't know why you support this person. I don't support him because he's a this and he's a that and she's a this and she's a that. And this is, it's a slow poisoning of our nation because of politics. And in the midst of it, you have people who have abandoned their logic, they have abandoned their common sense just to hold on to a political ideal. No matter if it's right or wrong, this is the side I want to stand for, and I don't care if they're right, I don't care if they're wrong, I'm going to hold on to it. And that's what it seems like. That's almost what it seems like. And this is why I say I don't like politics. I don't like it at all. And, you know, there are people you're going to disagree with me. And some people are that's okay if you disagree with me. That's fine. I don't see any reason to be verbally hostile against you simply because you disagree with me. You might have a reason why you believe like you do. It might be wrong. And if it's wrong, I will tell you, but I won't do it in an aggressive manner. I won't do it to beat you over the head with my rhetoric. I'll just say, I disagree with you. And if you have a problem with it, well, that's your problem. That's not mine. It's not my problem. But too many people, we get so aggressive and we get so uptight about, oh, he thinks this way. Oh, you think that way. Oh, how can you? And then they launch into the character assassinations. Oh, I know why you believe like this, because you're a this. And I know your kind. Y'all think like this, you think like that. And you totally go over the person's personality. You totally besmirch their character, and you won't even listen to what the person is saying. I'll give you a good example. I had a family member of mine some years ago. Of course, he was an Obama supporter. I wasn't. And he thought that I was one of those birthers. He thinks I'm a birther. He said, oh, I bet you one of them birthers. I had nothing to say about where Barack Obama was born. You know, birthers, they believe that Barack Obama wasn't born in the United States. He was born in Kenya and through some mix-up or whatever, or some deception, people think he was born in the United States. Now, I don't know where the man was born. I really don't. I don't know what to say about whether he was born in the United States or whether he was born in Kenya. Some people, they come to some conclusions about where Barack Obama was born. To me, that's not the issue, even though a person cannot be the president of the United States unless they are natural-born citizen, which means if Barack Obama was born outside of the United States, then he shouldn't have been president. But I didn't take issue with that too much. But people think because you think a certain way, then I'm going to tell you your character. And they act like they know you better than you know yourself. My problem with Obama was his policies. Not where he was born or anything like that. I leave that debate to somebody else. Oh, you don't care about women's health. What makes you think I don't care about women's health because I don't support your favorite candidate? Oh, you don't care about the earth. Oh, you want to throw grandma off the cliff. Where do y'all get this? Because they think they know so much, but what they don't know is how little they know about each individual person. And see, this is the problem. This is what destroys dialogue. You already think you know this person, boom. And you don't want to hear this person try to explain themselves because you already know what this person is about. Or you think you know what this person is about. And people will demonize, and see, this is what's happened to Donald Trump. First, he was besmirched by the people in the news media and people who don't use critical thinking skills or common sense or logic. They got brainwashed by that rhetoric, and they were led to think that Donald Trump was a racist or is a racist. So anything that Donald Trump did that people didn't like, they figured it's because Donald Trump is a racist. When Donald Trump said, make America great again, people, because they thought Donald Trump was racist, they said, oh, he means we need to go back to the time of Jim Crow, go back to the time of slavery when black people couldn't make it in this country and whatever. That's what he means. That's what make America great again. What does he mean, make America great again? We're already living in a great country. Or they would say, this country was never great for black people. So what does he mean, make America great again? He wants us to go back to the days of Jim Crow and slavery. And I'm sitting there like, how in the world did you all get all that from him saying, make America great again? I don't know where you all get this from. But see, that comes from you already had it planted in your mind. You've already been brainwashed, bamboozled into thinking that Donald Trump is a racist. So everything he does has got to be a racist reason behind it. Charlottesville. A lot of you all out there, y'all like to push Charlottesville in people's faces to prove, quote unquote, prove that Donald Trump is a racist because of what he said at Charlottesville. And you all say that he said that white supremacists are very fine people. Donald Trump never said that. He never said that. But when he made a statement that there are very fine people on both sides, you all figured he was including the white supremacists as well, and so you all just focus in on that instead of focusing on what he actually said. He said there are very fine people on both sides. And not only that, before he made the statement of there are very fine people on both sides, he said, I'm not talking about the white supremacists. I'm not talking about the Ku Klux Klan. They need to be condemned. But there are very fine people on both sides. See, the media got you thinking that Donald Trump is a racist. So when he made that statement, you all just went off on a deep end. Oh, you hear what he said? He said, white supremacists are very fine people. He never said that. He wasn't even trying to insinuate that. And he also cleared up his statement before he made that statement. He said, I'm not talking about the white supremacists or the Ku Klux Klan. It comes out of my, that word Ku Klux Klan comes out of my mouth kind of funny, kind of like saying a tongue twister. Tells you how nasty they are. But every little thing that Donald Trump did after the brainwashing process went on through our media, it was always a racist reason to it. Donald Trump made another statement. He said, when the Hispanics send their people to this country, they always send us the worst. They send us the murderers. They send us the rapists. And people were saying that Donald Trump said that Hispanics are rapists and murderers, and he did not say that. When he called MS-13 a bunch of animals, they took it that he meant that for all Hispanic people. Because a lot of you all out there have been brainwashed into thinking that Donald Trump doesn't like black people, he doesn't like brown people, and there's evidence to show otherwise. But you ignore the evidence because you want to go along with the brainwashing of your masters in the media. And you want to allow the media to do your thinking for you. This is why a lot of times when someone shares the light of truth on your so-called logic, you try to avoid the light. Because your masters have already taught you how to think. And then when someone like myself or anybody else who wants to think for themselves comes around and starts offering a different opinion, we're seen as a threat. And in order to make your argument, you throw logic and common sense out of the window. And you cling to that manufactured idea that the media has placed in your mind. And you're at the point where if someone tries to explain themselves, you just keep cutting them off. You won't sit and listen to them, but you just keep cutting them off. And then when the argument is over, you sit there and say, well, they couldn't answer me. No, you wouldn't let them answer you. You wouldn't let them answer you. It's not that they, you know, some people say, oh, I won that argument. I won. No, you didn't win. First of all, if you're making an argument and the truth is not in your argument, you didn't win an argument. And if you didn't let the other person explain themselves, then you haven't won the argument. You haven't won the argument. You know, that's the tactic them harpies on The View use. They if someone comes in that they don't agree with, they shut them down. Oh, you think you know this, and you think, oh, blah, 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 blah. That's how they do. And they think they're intellectually sound because they sit there and watch the CBS Evening News all day. And they think they get all the information that they need from watching the CBS Evening News. But this is what politics has done to this country. It's poisoned the country. And a lot of people are soaking up that poisonous rhetoric. And it leads to, I won't say actual brain damage, it leads to virtual brain damage. Leads to the damage in their mind. It's not actual brain damage. But a lot of these people, they get to the point where they can't really think for themselves. So somebody has to do the thinking for them. And see, if you are intellectually lazy, mentally lazy, anyone can plant something into your mind and get you to believe it. But if you're a person that you hear something, you say, wait a minute, I hear you, but let me check this out. Then you're the one who's seen as a threat. Well, you got to check it out. I'm telling you what. No. I can't just go by your word. I can't just take your word for it. That's why I tell people, don't take my word for it. If anything you hear of me on this show, on this program, don't take my word for it. Check it out. Check out what I'm saying, because I'm not speaking just off the top of my head. I do a lot of reading. I do a lot of reading. Matter of fact, my wife would call you, well, if you were to ask my wife, is your husband a bookworm? She'll say, yes. She'll say it quickly. Bold print, underline, exclamation point. I like to read. Now, given, just because there are printed words on a page, that doesn't mean I'm just going to believe something because it's written in a book. You got to use, that's where critical thinking, that's where logic, that's where common sense comes in at. And see, I've been accused by people of saying, oh, you read too many books. You think you know everything. Oh, no. No, I don't think I know everything. By me being a bookworm, lets me know, I already know that, hey, wait a minute, I can't just believe this because it's sitting in a book. Y'all ever heard that term, people with book sense don't have common sense? That's one of the stupidest things I think I ever heard in my life. Because if you're just a person with book sense, you're just as stupid as those who don't read a book. Because you're not using critical thinking skills. And just because someone doesn't read as much as you, that doesn't mean they don't know anything. I know people that they're not into books, but they're some of the smartest people that I know. I'm into books, but I also had the understanding that just because someone put some print on some white pages, I understand that that does not mean that what I'm reading is the truth. Now, I'll say this, it is good to learn how to read, you know. Of course, we know that. I mean, that goes without saying. But I'm not saying you need to get to the same level of bookwormery as I'm at to understand what's going on in the world. You might not read one quarter as many books as I do, and you might have a better understanding of what's going on in the world than I do. I understand that. And I don't feel threatened by it at all. But you have some people, they are so lazy mentally and intellectually, they won't do any reading. They won't do any checking of the sources. They just let someone else do their thinking for them. They won't think for themselves. They won't allow themselves to be an individual and come to their own conclusions. And see, the problem with a lot of people is they feel like we are part of a collective. And that whatever this group of people thinks, if you have some physical attributes that makes you part of a certain group, then you need to think like that group does. By my, of course, those of you all who've been on this show for any length of time, you know I am a black person. And a lot of people think because I am black that I need to follow along with the logic of mainstream black America. And I won't. And mainstream black America hates me because of it. Because I won't follow their rhetoric. I like to come to my own conclusions. I don't believe that if someone comes up and tells me something, shares some information with me, that I'm supposed to just like that, just accept what is said to me. Oh, you black, how come you don't think like this? Because I am an individual. I like to come to my own conclusions. See, a person who can just spit off words at you and get you to believe what they say, they have a lot of control over you. And this is why you got people who exist in a collective. These people, they have a mental, what's the word I'm looking for? They feel like they're mentally superior to you, and you feel like you're mentally inferior to them. And you get a whole group of people under them like that, and they feel like they have some type of control over you. But I like to come to my own conclusions. Not only do I believe in physical freedom, I believe in intellectual and mental freedom as well. Do your own study. Do your own research. Check out the receipts. But a lot of people are not willing to do that. That's why you got people. You got people who can't even write a simple paragraph on a piece of paper. They'll sit here and they'll act like they are so much smarter than everybody else. Because I watched the news last night. I watched CNN. I watched CBS. I watched NBC. And they think by watching those programs that they're getting all the information that they need. And they think that their news reporter wouldn't lie to them. The news reporter has gotten them to think that, oh, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm just telling you what's going on in the world. But they don't understand that whenever you watch a news program, you're basically watching a bite of information that they hurl at you to get you to believe and think a certain way. Because those news reporters, they don't give a flying ripped pair of jeans about your well-being. All they care about is their ratings. That's why they'll report on one news story, but another news story that is quite similar, they won't report on that. Because one of them has an element that's going to get people riled up. And it's going to increase their ratings. Case in point, black on black crime. Whenever we hear the story of a black person dying at the hands of a white police officer, that's going to make the news. That's going to, oh, man, let's put this on the news. And they're careful how they come up with the titles and everything. You know, black man killed by white police officer. They make sure they put that in there. Now, if it was the reverse, like black police officer kills white man, that doesn't make the news. But a white police officer killing a black man, that makes the news. That's why that gets play on the news. And that is why a lot of people, when you tell them more black people are getting killed by the hands of other black people than are being killed by the white cops, they want to dismiss you. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't know. Because I ain't heard that. I told one guy, I said, so you know everything, right? You know everything. Just because you didn't hear it, that means it must not have happened. That's the syndrome that is going through a lot of people in this country today. Well, I ain't heard that. Just because you haven't heard it doesn't mean it's not going on. And so that's why people tend to dismiss black-on-black crime, which black-on-black crime probably takes the life of at least one person every single day. But those might get local coverage, but they won't get national coverage. But the news media won't report on a black person killing a white person. Why? Because that's not news. We got to get something to rile the people up. Got to get you guys riled up. So they won't report on black-on-black crime. But oh my goodness, if a white police officer is in any way involved with the death of a black person, it could be accidental, it could be negligent, it could be intentional, whatever. Oh, that's going to make the news because that's going to get people riled up. People going to be stay tuned to their local news channel or whatever, the national news channels. And that's going to make their ratings go up. No, the rascals don't care about giving you no information. They don't care about that. These people don't care about the truth. 91% of your news reporters, they don't go to church. They don't read the Bible. They don't care about the truth. All they care about is getting you to believe a certain way in order to increase their ratings in the long run. When that report came out about Trayvon Martin, some of you all, oh, Trayvon Martin. Well, first of all, Trayvon Martin wasn't killed by the police. He was gunned down because he was wearing a hoodie and he was black. That's what you all want to believe. But that's not what happened. Trayvon Martin was killed because he was attacking a man. And that man, in fear for his life, shot and killed Trayvon Martin. Now, when the news first reported it, they said it was a white man that gunned down this kid who was just going to the store to get some Skittles and some iced tea, and he was skipping along with a basket of goodies for his grandmother, and this evil white man come up out of nowhere and shoot this boy dead, all because he had some Skittles and some iced tea. And folks, I am going to admit it to you. When I first heard that story, I was like, wait a minute. He just got shot because of some Skittles and some iced tea? When I first heard it, and I should have known better because back then I still think the way I do now. I should have known better. But see, this is why we shouldn't jump to conclusions. Wait till the story comes out. Hear all the evidence. But see, the woke crowd, they don't care about the evidence. All they care about is the story they hear now, and they already got their little bullet thinking points ready. When you say, okay, well, I'm just going to wait out. I'm just going to wait for the story to come out, and then I'll make my judgment. Oh, well, you know, if that boy was white, he'd still be alive. That's not evidence. You don't know that. But lo and behold, when I saw the picture of George Zimmerman, I was like, wait a minute, he looks like he's Hispanic. But they reported him as a white man. And then when people started getting wind that George Zimmerman was actually Hispanic, people say, oh, he's a white Hispanic. Oh, but somewhere down the line, George Zimmerman does have some African-American in him, too. But that doesn't disperse the woke crowd. They don't care because that first story that they got out, that's the story that stuck. Same thing with Michael Brown. Hands up, don't shoot. People are still saying, hands up, don't shoot. And was the evidence pointed that Michael Brown was not on the ground, kneeling on the ground with his hands up, and a police officer just shot him for no reason. But people still want to believe it, even though the evidence doesn't even point to it. But this is what I say about being intellectually lazy, intellectually and mentally lazy. And a lot of people, they just want to believe what they want to believe. Bump the evidence. I'm going to believe what I want to believe. Truth be damned. I don't care about the truth. I want to believe what I want to believe. If he was white, he'd still be alive. You don't know that. Because the news media is not going to show you a white person getting killed by a cop. And that's why you believe that, because you think the news media is giving you all the information you need. Let me give a shout out to a couple of people here. Hey there, Retta, how you doing? I see you there. And I see my buddy Iredale. Stay right there. Keep listening. I'm going to get with you. I got to do my rant. Got to do it. Got to keep cutting through. Got to keep cutting through the lies, man. But people, look, y'all need to learn that I'm news media. Just like Donald Trump said, I know you all don't like Donald Trump. Say you, Donald Trump. Oh. But just like Donald Trump said, you cannot trust our news media. That's why Donald Trump treated the news media like he did during his presidency. They didn't respect him one bit, because they were the ones that cooked up the idea that Donald Trump is a racist. And a lot of us, because we're mentally and intellectually lazy, we believe it. That's why when Donald Trump can say things like, you know, there are good people on both sides. Oh, he did you hear him? He said white supremacists are very fine people. He didn't say that. Did you hear Donald Trump? He said Mexicans are nothing but murderers and robbers and rapists. He didn't say that. MAGA, make America great again. He wants to take us back to Jim Crow and slavery. Donald Trump didn't say that. Now let me just be blunt. Those of you all who believe he said that, you're stupid. You're stupid. Donald Trump never insinuated that white supremacists were fine people. And like I said earlier, he said that I'm not talking about the white supremacists or the Ku Klux Klan. You need to condemn those people. Now, he said there are very fine folk on both sides. Now, forget that he also said that the people who were supporting the tearing down the statues, forget that he said that there are people on that side too. Forget that. No, he said that other side, they got very fine people. So Donald Trump's a racist. So that means he's saying that the white supremacists are very fine people. The shock, the horror. I'll go so far to say the stupidity, because a lot of you all believe that garbage and you still believe it to this day. And a lot of you all call yourselves Christians. Folks, I know I'm beating a dead horse when I keep talking about you Christians out there who believe this garbage, just believe what comes out of the TV to you. I have to push this because we are held to a higher standard. We're supposed to look into a matter before we make a judgment. Christians out there, call yourselves Christians, but y'all just believe anything that news reporter tells you. Yeah, Donald Trump's a racist. Mm-hmm, yeah. You just accept it without any question. And y'all go into that black and white thing too. Yeah, if Eric Garner was white, he'd still be alive today. And none of these people, Eric Garner, Sandra Bland, Michael Brown, Tamir Rice, any of these people, George Floyd, none of these people, see, this is the part that people don't get. None of those people were killed because they were black. And they were not killed by cops looking for black people to kill. But that's the rhetoric everyone wants to follow, because it makes them out to be the victim. And see, when you make yourself out to be the victim, then you can make excuses for why certain things are going on in the black community. And it's gotten to the point where black folks, when you talk about black on black crime, They say, well, that's a result of slavery. How is that a result of slavery? How is that a result of slavery? How is that? Black people living in the projects, that's a result of slavery. How is that a result of slavery? My wife and I, we were watching a movie last week. My wife and I, we love watching these documentaries. And a friend of ours a friend of mine on Facebook, you know him, Retta, named Seiko Woods. He said he watched a movie called The Race Game, and he recommended that we watch this movie called The Race Game. And I said, you know, Seiko's a level-headed man. I love these. My wife and I, we love watching these documentaries. So last weekend, we took it upon ourselves to purchase this movie and watch it. And I'm sitting there, and I watched a ton of these documentaries. And every time I watch them, it just blows my mind. But some of you mentally lazy people out there, y'all won't even so much as sit there and watch a movie like that, because you've been told that whoever did this movie is a coon, he's a Uncle Tom, and yada, 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 that's that conservative. Y'all won't even sit down and just say, okay, let me see what the other side is saying right now. You won't even do that. And I was telling my wife while I was watching the movie that President Lyndon Baines Johnson, he was president when I was born. President Lyndon Baines Johnson, people hold him to be such a hero because he voted for the Voter Rights Act and all that stuff in the 60s. But these are the people that tell you need to learn some history. They need to point the finger right back at themselves. Because I believe it was in 1957. Eisenhower wanted to pass a equality bill. I forgot the name of that bill. But he wanted to pass an equality bill. Lyndon Baines Johnson and John F. Kennedy voted against it. Well, they helped free Martin Luther King Jr. from jail. Yeah, and when they did that, they realized they were getting on the good graces of the black folks, and they were like, hold up, wait a minute. Let's give them a little taste of something that they want. And then in the future, we can get their votes. And now you want to talk about a switch that happened. That's when the switch happened. And when Lyndon Baines Johnson supported the Voter Rights Act, he made a statement that I don't know why black folks don't, like, wait a minute, he said that? Yes, he did. I'll have them niggers. Oh, I'm sorry, folks, I'm on someone else's program. I'll have them N-words voting Democrat for the next 200 years. I told myself I wouldn't say the N-word on this program. If it was mine, I would say the word, but, you know, I don't know what the rules are and everything, so I said I'll call it the N-word, so that's my apology. But any other time, I will go out and say the word. But he said, I will have those N-words voting Democrat for the next 200 years. All Lyndon Baines Johnson cared about was getting votes for his party. That's all he cared about. That's all he cared about. And that's why, you know, people talk about there was this big switch, you know, the Republicans went to the Democrats and the Democrats went to the... Why would you leave your party and go to a party that thinks totally opposite of what you're thinking? It doesn't make sense. There was no switch. The only switch there was tactics that the Democrats were willing to use to keep black people under their thumb, and they're still doing it to this day. And a lot of us black people, because we don't like to learn. Yeah, I said it. A lot of us don't like to learn, and we like someone to do our thinking for us, and that's why we continue to vote Democrat. We've been voting Democrat for around 60 years. And no, the condition in the black community hasn't gotten any better. But we still vote for the Democrats because the Democrats are going to help us out. Oh, the Democrats this, the Democrats that. And our situation doesn't get any better. But we still vote for the people who keep us in the projects. Because they go out there, they dangle that carrot in front of us, and we go chasing that carrot thinking one day we're going to catch that stupid carrot. I'm going to get you, carrot. I'm going to get you. Come here, carrot. And you don't realize you've been chasing that carrot for about 60 years. And this is how mentally lazy you are. You're like, hey, wait a minute. There's no way I'm going to catch that doggone carrot. But this person keeps dangling in front of me, offering it to me, but I can't catch it. You know what? I'm going to stop catching it. I'm going to stop chasing that carrot. And I'm going to learn to grow my own carrots. But I can talk till I'm blue in the face and people will still, they still think the Democrats are helping them out. Democrats ain't doing jack for you. Why in the world are you going to vote for people who support abortion? Why in the world are you going to vote for people who support gay marriage? And you call yourself a Christian. That's the thing that gets me. You call yourself a Christian, but you, oh, yeah, I'm going to vote for Joe Biden because he said stuff. And look at Joe Biden right now. The man can't even hold two sentences together. Joe Biden, I really believe there's someone behind the scenes pulling Joe Biden's strings. He can't even think for himself. That time he was in the ice cream shop and this lady asked him a question, he had to go into his pocket to find the answer. Oh, where are my notes? Okay, yeah. I'm sitting there like, and this is who people voted for. And the only reason why people voted for Joe Biden, nobody really had confidence in Joe Biden. They act like that, oh, yeah, Joe Biden's going to do it. Folks, you're not going to get me to believe that people are actually confident that Joe Biden would get the job done. The only reason why they voted for Joe Biden is because he got rid of Trump. That's all. And when Joe Biden got into office, he proceeded immediately to dismantle everything that Trump had set forth. And now that's why our country is in such a tizzy right now. Yeah, Joe Biden did this and he did that and Joe Biden ain't done jack squat diddly. And then he assigns Kamala Harris to look after the, you know, to oversee the border situation. She don't even go there. And then when you try, when someone asks her, say, are you ever going to go to the border? She was like, we've been at the border. We've been there. This is the most incompetent administration we've had in the history of this country. And it's been barely half a year, and I can already tell this administration is worse than even Obama's. Now, Joe, let me tell you something. Let me be clear. I screwed this nation up, but I hope you do a better job of screwing up this nation than I did. Make me proud. Folks, I don't hear the praises for Joe Biden like I heard for Barack Obama when he was in office. People are just glad that Donald Trump is out of office because people, once again, they were brainwashed into believing that Donald Trump didn't care about women, He didn't care about black people. He didn't care about brown people. And they were just so glad that Joe Biden became president. Talking about he's the most popular candidate ever. Are you serious? Have you all even seen a Joe Biden rally? Have you ever seen one? And then look at the Donald Trump rallies. Well, let me be clear. The Donald Trump rallies are super spreader events. That's why so many people got COVID. Folks, don't get me into the COVID thing. I'm not even going to go there. Because I'm so sick of people who call themselves being higher ups and elites and everything, and they just tell us anything. And a lot of people just go ahead and believe it. Got to wear a mask. Don't wear a mask. Wear two masks. Oh, COVID is dying down. Oh, wait a minute. We got a Delta variant. We got a Lambda variant. They got another variant coming out of Florida. Oh, you got to get vaccinated. Oh, their breakthrough infections, you know, people still got vaccinated. They got COVID. Oh, what do we do? What do we do? Now, folks, let me tell y'all something. If a woman can say the reason why she can abort her child is because it's her body, her choice, which it really isn't. That baby is not her body. I don't know why people don't throw that back up in their faces. Say, that's not your body. But if a woman can say, my body, my choice, when it comes to killing her child, I can say my body, my choice, and whether I want to accept that vaccination or not. And people shouldn't be forced to take the vaccination. But that's what it's coming to. That's what it's coming to. They're going to force you. I already told you all last week that, you know, I was told that I have to get a vaccination for COVID. And no, I'm not happy about it because I already caught COVID. And they said, well, you know, you only got a immunity for 6 to 8 months. How do you know? I caught chickenpox when I was like 4 years old. I ain't caught it since then. Because I built up an immunity. Well, better safe than sorry. And you got certain people, some people are dying from it. I'm not saying everybody. Most of the people get it. They're not getting adverse effects from it. But there are people who are dying from that shot. Now, I'm not afraid of dying getting that shot. What I'm afraid of is people telling me I made a decision for myself that I believe that was best for me, and some meathead in the elite sector is telling me, no, you need to get that, you need to get the vaccination. That was my decision to say I'm not getting the vaccination because I already caught COVID. My wife and I, we both caught it. And I'm being told I need to get a vaccination because I work for this hospital, but I don't work in the hospital. I work in a warehouse with computer parts. I don't see a patient. And from what I heard, not too many people are happy with that mandate. They're not too happy about it. But anyway, coming to the top of the hour, I really didn't want to talk about what I just talked about, but, you know, sometimes people need to hear it. But let me go on. At the top of the hour, I got to do my advertisements, and I will see you on the other side. You are listening to Black by Color Only on CNM Radio.
CNM is trying to find new shows for the weekdays that are open. We have 3 shows now on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. The open days are Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. If you have a show that you are looking to air on a network, CNM is looking for you. Give us a call at 505-317-8741 or email us at conservativenationmedia, all one word, 2017@gmail.com. Send us a short MP3 giving us a sample of what you would sound like, day that you want to be on, the time that you want to air your show, and we will do the rest. CNM is a talk radio network with a conservative bent, and we love America, her constitution, her laws, and we support our boys in blue and our military too. Come join us and get yourself on the air. As the technology of drones constantly grows and things get easier and easier to do, the cameras on the drones available are better too. So much so that mapping and surveying is now done with drones. That is the one area that Eye in the Sky Drone Services comes into play. You need your roof scanned out for work to be done up there? Call Eye in the Sky Drone Services. You need land photographed from the air? You need to call Eye in the Sky Drone Services. We can even do weddings from a perspective not seen anywhere but in the movies, all in 4K and full color, unless you wish to do your videos in sepia tone or even black and white. We can even go into the oil field and take photos out there of oil rigs and pipelines too. That is Eye in the Sky Drone Services out of Albuquerque, New Mexico. Email us at eyeinthesky@gmail.com or call us at 505-317-8741. Give us a call because we can do it all, because the sky is the limit.
Like to call in, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. And I just got off an hour-long rant the first hour, and that wasn't what I wanted to talk about in the first hour. The first hour, I wanted to talk about this situation with Simone Biles. Simone Biles, she's the lady, the gymnastics, the member of the gymnastics team of the USA, and she's probably the best gymnast the USA has ever produced. I'm not sure about it. I don't follow gymnastics that much, but I hear her. Well, basically, the reason why I hear her name thrown around all the time is because she's black. A lot of the other girls, you don't hear about them. You don't hear about them that, but Simone Biles, Gabby Douglas, Dominique Dawes, you, oh my goodness, you hear about them all because they're black. And I'm sick of that, you know. Look, you got other members on the team too, you know. We don't need to just pay attention to the black ones. But this weekend, she didn't do too well. And girlfriend is 24 years old, which is kind of elderly for a gymnast. For her to continue to perform at her level at 24 years old, that says a lot about her. But she didn't perform too well, and so she quit. And the thing about it is, because a lot of people, you know, like I said, because she's black, a lot of people are like, oh, she was thinking about her team and she was thinking about her teammates. She wanted to step out of the way, and she probably did. And they're praising her for it. But then the other side is like, oh, you quit. Oh, nothing to praise there. Look, folks, I'm like this. This is my thing about the whole thing. I don't care what she did. I really don't. She quit? Okay, she quit. I don't think she deserves the praise or the criticism that she's getting. So what? She quit. Okay, boom. Sun is shining. Skies are blue. Birds are singing. Flowers are blooming. I really don't care. But I think the fault lies with people on both sides. I think both sides are taking it too far. You got one side, they want to praise her because, oh, this is a black girl. And that's the only reason why they're praising this girl, is because she's black. She wouldn't have gotten as much attention that she has gotten if she was white. And you know that for a fact. But you got the other side, you know, these you shouldn't quit type people. And I get so tired of people, oh, you're a quitter, you're a quitter. As if quitting is a sin or it's a crime. Look, Simone Biles knows what she knows why she quit, okay? Maybe she did it for selfish reasons. I don't know. But these don't quit type people, sometimes you do have to quit. She said she was experiencing something called the twisties or something. And she said she quit because she felt like her head wasn't in the game and that she could seriously injure herself because of that, because she wasn't in it mentally. Okay, well, okay, you know. But either way, I'm like, okay, she quit. Okay, boom, life goes on. But it wouldn't have been such a big issue if girlfriend wasn't black. I can guarantee you that. And people are saying that the people who are criticizing her for quitting, they're criticizing her because she's black. They won't do that to a white girl. They'll do it to a black girl. And I'm like, oh, y'all, come on, please. Please, please, come on. Really, y'all. And really, I don't care if she quit or not. I really don't. It makes me no difference. Now, there are situations where a person quits, it doesn't deserve praise. But sometimes you need to, sometimes if you know you're not going to get ahead anywhere, you just need to quit. Just, you know, I'm not going to push it any further, because me continuing on doing this thing is not going to be any benefit to me. And you get these people, oh, don't quit. You gotta keep at it. Folks, just because you keep at it doesn't mean you're going to meet success every single time. It does not. It might show people that, hey, I don't know why you kept at it, but, you know, that says a lot about you. You just want, but just because you don't quit doesn't mean that you're going to meet success all the time. You might need to quit here and try something over there. That's how I feel about the thing. That's just my, and I know people are not going to agree with me about this on either side. They're not going to agree with me. I'm okay with that. But whether she quit or not, I don't care. I really don't. I'm tired of hearing about Simone Biles. Really. I'm really sick and tired of hearing about her. And once again, you know, people say, oh, she's getting this criticism because she's black and this is the weight that black people have to bear. No, that's the weight that Simone Biles has to bear. Oh, y'all just doing this because she's black. You know, y'all wouldn't do this to a white person. I remember Gabby Douglas about 5 years ago. People were criticizing her hair because they said her hair looked a mess and everything. And people were sitting there, they don't like black hair. Turns out most of the people that were criticizing Gabby Douglas were black. And Gabby Douglas was like, I don't know if I'm getting this criticism. I'm just here to, you know, do gymnastics. And to be honest with you, Gabby Douglas's hair didn't really look that bad. I was like, okay, well, you know, I mean, she got to make herself more aerodynamic, you know, because she's a gymnast. But you think she's supposed to wear her hair in dreadlocks and everything? I mean, that would be very distracting in a sport like gymnastics. But I don't care if Simone Biles quit or didn't quit. I really don't care. I'm just sick of hearing about the story. I haven't even watched the Olympics this year because, you know, we got too many woke people today. And, you know, it's too much politics going in. Like I said before, you know, politics has really ruined sports for me. Because I can remember growing up in the 80s, the 90s, and watching, you know, football was my spectator sport. That was it. Miami Dolphins, that was my team. And sit there and watch your team play or watch these two teams play, go at it, knock each other senseless and everything. And it was a good escape away from what was political. But now politics has seeped in and has totally ruined. It has ruined. Now, you all heard about the Cleveland Indians have changed their names to the Cleveland Guardians now. And my favoritism for baseball left a long time ago because to me it's a boring sport. But right then and there, I'm like, y'all really don't want us to enjoy sports anymore, do you? Now, I'm trying to figure out what is so offensive about Cleveland Indians. I don't see what's so offensive about it. Just like with the Washington Redskins, I don't see what's so offensive about that. They'll probably go for the Kansas City Chiefs next or the Atlanta Braves. And they say, well, you know, certain Native Americans, they were offended at these names. Nah, I don't think it was Native Americans. I think it was you woke folks. Keep in mind, Native Americans had a say in naming these teams. Keep that in mind. I mean, it's crazy. It really is. And like I said earlier in the show, I said, I just wish my country would come back, but I don't think it will. I don't think it will. I was on Facebook, I think yesterday, and someone said, you know what, I'm not watching sports till all this, till they get politics out of it. I said, you probably won't be watching sports for the rest of your life. I think this mess is here to stay. And it's a shame. It's sad. It's really sad. The only sport I can watch now is cornhole. I'm not taking that up, and I hope they don't get in that. I think the only sports you can watch now is probably cornhole or bowling or maybe even golf. And I'm not a golf fan. But this is why I say I don't like politics, because politics poisons everything it gets into. Politics just ruins everything. And it's a sad thing. You might be able to hear it in my voice and everything. It's sad because I used to love watching football. Every year I'd be like, oh, man, I can't wait for football season. Now they just totally ruined it for me. Now in every game they're going to be playing the Black National Anthem. How is that a Black national anthem? I mean, what nation are you representing? See, I can tell you the American anthem. That's for the USA. That's for the USA. Black national anthem. What do you mean by that? And the first time I heard this so-called Black national anthem, it's called "Lift Every Voice and Sing." I don't know how in the world that I don't know, but. The first time I heard it was in 1986 when I first came to North Carolina Central University, which is an all-black college here in Durham, North Carolina. I live less than a mile from there. And some years later, someone was telling me, said, you know, if you are black and you hear that song being sung, you need to stand at attention, hold your hand to your heart, and you know, show respect. I'm like, Black national anthem? Only anthem I know is the American anthem. That's the only one I respect. Because keep in mind, if it wasn't for the American anthem, the American national anthem, there will be no black national anthem. So I'd rather take the American anthem. Same thing with Juneteenth. People say, oh, that's the day, that's the real day of black liberty and everything. I say, yeah. Keep on thinking that. But if there wasn't a July the 4th, there never would have been a Juneteenth. See, that's how I think. That's my thinking, you know. Don't even try to figure me out. Don't even try. I tell people that. Trying to figure me out is trying to figure out a complex calculus problem. If you were to cut my brain open right now and look at my mind, it'll look like a Category 5 hurricane. Don't even try to figure me out. Because you will be dead long before you figure me out. But that's how I think. If we didn't have a July the 4th, we wouldn't have had a Juneteenth. If there wasn't an American national anthem, we wouldn't have had a black national anthem. Why do we need to sing a black national anthem before a football game anyway? Why? I don't get it. I really don't get it. I'm an American. Yeah, I'm black, but I'm an American. That's all that matters to me. I'm an American. Okay, now, I did not know this. Flycatch just hit me with some trivia here. The Cleveland Indians got its name from the Native American Indian ball player, Louis Chief Sokolexis. I think that's how you pronounce it, way back in the 1890s. See, that's what I'm talking about. Native Americans come up with had a hand in some of the names of these teams. And, oh, no, that's offensive. I don't know what in the world is so offensive about Cleveland Indians. I can't. Maybe they don't like that cheesy smile on that Indian, you know. Or so, I don't know. I don't understand it. But, you know, Braves, Chiefs, Blackhawks, all them are probably next. Canucks. Well, Canucks is a slang term for Canadian. But they'll probably come for them, too. It offends Canadians. But you got hockey teams in Canada. Okay. All right. Let's see here. I see I got some callers here. I guess it's time to sound the alarm. Fruit bat alert. Now, if you're on the phone and you want to engage in ad hominem attacks and character assassination, insults, excessive profanity, things of that sort, I will push the kick button and you will go bye-bye. Okay, I will hang up on you. Okay, I don't mind you adding, you don't have to agree with me. I'm not saying that you got to agree with me. No, not at all. But you have to show some respect in your interactions on this program. That's all I care about. Okay. I'm not asking you to agree with me. We're all going to have a point where we disagree with each other. That's just human nature, you know. But if you're going to come on here and you want to disrupt the show and with your own little crazy mess and everything, I'd advise you right now to hang up. But anyway, let me get this one because he was here first. Hello, welcome to the show.
Yeah, how you doing, man?
Oh, man, you sound great. Clear. My goodness.
Yeah. Great show today, man. And that's very true, man. I mean, the Indians, I mean, they should have left that alone. And then you talked about the other team too, the Washington Redskins. You know, that don't even sound right. The Washington football team, that don't even sound right. And then they're talking about they're probably to go after Kansas City Chiefs and Atlanta Braves. That's just real crazy, man.
I just think it's an honor to have your group or whatever to represent a team. I don't see that. I don't see how people are offended at that. I just don't see it. If they had a team called the Vincent Browns, I'd be like, oh, y'all want to use my name? Okay, cool. You know, I mean, I just don't understand why that would offend anybody.
No, I don't understand it either. And it, trying to be too politically correct, you know.
Yeah.
And why you want to change people's names, you know. We got more serious problems than changing teams' names and everything.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Crime and everything, you know. And it's just... It's way beyond crazy. That's all I'm gonna say. It's way beyond crazy.
Yeah.
I guess it might even start changing some names too. But I saw where somebody was they're taking down some statues that deal with the Confederacy. So, you know, I can see that somewhat, but I can't see them changing. They went overboard definitely when they started wanting to change teams' names and everything. I'm finished.
Okay. Yeah, you never know. They might come after your team too, the Patriots. They might come after them because, you know, they stole the land from the Indians. So we got to change that name. We can't, you know, they fought a war and they killed some of the Indians and, you know, we got to change that name. Change that name. We'll change their name to the New England Makos or something.
Iredale. No,
the New England Iredales.
Yes, the New England Iredales. I would like that name.
That sounds more like a singing
I'll be
group
watching.
Or something.
sounds like a what?
Sounds more like a singing group. And up next, we got the New England Iredales.
you are so right. But, you know, again, I say, you know, that it's just crazy. They need to leave some stuff alone. And there's nothing wrong with being offensive. Now, if they had the N-word, you know, like whatever team it is, and end with, you know, that word or something like that, oh, yeah, definitely, you know, change it. But Indians was in this country way before, what you call them, Christopher Columbus came over. They was over here.
Well,
you know.
They say, this is their excuse for saying why that's offensive, because when Christopher Columbus came over to the New World, first of all, he didn't know he had discovered a new country. Really, which is why I don't celebrate Christopher Columbus Day anyway. It's not because of racism, but when Christopher Columbus died, he thought he had sailed around the world. And he thought he was in Asia, and when he saw the native people coming out, he called them Indians. That's why we call them Indians today, because he thought he was in India or something like that. And, you know, people say it's offensive. I really don't see what's so offensive about that name. You know, Christopher Columbus may have gotten it wrong, but I don't see what's so offensive about, you know, Cleveland Indians or any, especially if Native Americans had a say in naming the team in the first place. I really don't see what's so offensive, you know, but this is part of our woke culture and everything. And now the team had moved, the team owner said, you know what, I'm going to move to another city. I'm going to change the name. You know, I ain't got no problem with that. You know, people were upset at the Browns because they left Cleveland and they went to Baltimore and changed the name to the Ravens. I'm like, well, that's the owner of the team. He can do that and whatever, but to change a name because of some, just to be politically correct, see, I have a problem with that. You know, this political correctness is just messing up everything.
That's very true. And, you know, don't tell them where it's going to probably get worse before it gets better. So
Yeah, that's true, and, though. That's true. And like I said, like I told the person the other day, I said, you know what, it might be a long time before a lot of us ever get to watch sports again because I don't think this political correctness is going away anytime soon. I really don't.
Well, look at Cope, what was it? I can't, Kaepernick, some years ago, a big statement was that because he didn't, you know, he nailed down when they did the, with the national athlete, at football game. Like, man, look, I came on to hear about the latest, about the coming games for that day, and they gave that little coverage, and then they talked about it, what, 45 minutes, an hour, on a 2 hours, on a 2 or 3 hour show about that. I mean, are we talking about him, or are we talking about the national football games that's going to be played later on today or that weekend? That was crazy, too.
Yeah.
That just goes to show how crazy this world is, has become.
Yeah. They turn our sports programs into political forums. But anyway, I'm going to keep you on. Let me get this other caller on here.
Sure thing.
Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
It's Fruitback number two.
excuse me, I'm not Fruitback number one. I'm not Fruitback number one, but I understand the humor of it all.
My grandson was in the room when that damn siren went off. He said, "Papa, what are you listening to?" He walked out. Look.
Just tell him, it's this old crazy nondescript black guy from Durham, North Carolina having a radio show. Just ignore it.
The word Indian is a legal term created by the U.S. government when they were dealing with the five civilized tribes. A member of a five civilized tribe was called an Indian. What else could they call them? Those tribes had different names.
Yeah.
And you know, even today in America, there's over 1,000 languages in the United States. You just don't know about them.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then you need to change Tuskegee University name. Guess who they name out there? An Indian tribe.
Yep. Oh, hey. Certainly are.
Let's change the name of that black college. It's named after an Indian tribe. But oh no, that's black privilege.
Yeah.
And here's another thing. I see where the NBA is using Barack Obama and that big former center that used to play NBA basketball from Uganda, Mutombo or something like that. They trying to get the NBA into Africa.
Wow.
And I called all my African contacts about that and told them they need to stay away from this. First place, Africans got the right and the ability to start their own league if they want to. They don't need Obama. They don't have to be associated with the NBA or the NFL. And why would they use that ratchet Obama anyway?
Especially
like Nigeria. He is a turncoat. Look what he done to Nigeria. Well, it started off with Libya. Him, Hillary Clinton, Susan Rice, and Salzman, I think her name was. The Wicked Witches of the West. With Obama, brought down Libya. Libya's weapons cache was disseminated all through Africa. Maybe not all of it, but a lot of it worked its way over to northern Nigeria with that one terrorist group called Boko Haram.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And around the time that they kidnapped those girls from the school, the Chinook girls, you had old ugly Michelle Obama on there talking about free the Chinook girls and all that stuff. Nigeria was wanting some technology that would allow them to be able to better track that organization because they took refuge in the forest. Well, Obama was against it because Obama said that they had a bad human rights record. Nigeria, you know what their human rights record is, don't you? They anti-homosexual.
Yep.
And they anti-abortion on demand, like was asked. Where a 12-year-old could go get an abortion without notifying their parents. How the heck you think that's going to fly over in Africa? And also they tried to put that mess in Liberia at the time. The president of Liberia, she's a female, Sharif, told them, nope. Then you had one of the Kenyattas in Kenya told Obama, don't even mention that if you come here, basically.
Yeah.
Nigeria contacted Israel. Israel was, but Obama threatened them. They contacted Brazil. That one airplane manufacturer in Brazil was going to help them. He threatened them. So how in the heck can you deal with somebody like that? Now, if I'm lying, somebody pointed out where I'm lying. It's all over the Internet.
Yeah.
Guess
yeah.
who gave them the technology to go after Boko Haram? I mean, just guess. I give you one good guess. Go ahead.
I'm going to say Israel.
Donald Trump.
Oh. Okay. Wow.
Donald Trump gave them what they needed in order to fight the terrorists. Your mulatto president, Barack Obama, whose father was Kenyan, a Muslim, therefore he was a Muslim when he was born. He married a white woman so he could get visa to come into the United States. He turned them down. Then to make throw gasoline on the fire, they used this what they call soft tactics. It's not tactics. I can't think of the name of it. Hillary Clinton. Soft power or something like that. Soft power. What it is that we give you aid, but you got to give in on some other things. You know how aid, U.S. aid comes with all kinds of stipulations and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Well, some of the stipulations had to do with Planned Parenthood International. I didn't say Planned Parenthood U.S. I said international. Why in the hell you got to have Planned Parenthood to go over in Africa to help those people plan their families? Shit, from what we see here in the United States, there won't be no family.
Yeah.
And why do you think that these people in these countries, who were the first civilization, been around forever, why do you figure that they cannot plan families? They do a very good job at it.
Oh, yeah.
They got positive growth rates. And here's another point. Look how devastating basketball and football is to black kids in here in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at some of the academic data on some black high schools, like in Normandy, Missouri, right outside of St. Louis on Lucas and Hunt and St. Charles Rock Road, where the math proficiency is less than 5%. for a high school with over 1,100 students, less than 5%. Those kids shouldn't be playing those sports. They should be getting down with their academics. 13% reading proficiency. A football powerhouse over in East St. Louis, across the river from St. Louis, East St. Louis High School, their math proficiency is less than 1%. I don't even know how you measure that.
I mean, really.
You see what I'm saying, Vincent? How, another point.
Yeah.
How many black kids was wasted? And when I mean wasted, they were dreaming, but the dreams never came true to produce just one. I mean, just one LeBron James. How many?
Yeah.
All through the time that he started, he had to have competition in order to perfect his skill. The competition didn't step up on the big stage with him. It went by the wayside.
Yeah.
Look at your football. Football combines, where they measure and see and combine your scores in each activity, whether it's running a 40, jumping, catching, throwing. And you may have 300 kids there, and how many of them moves on to the next level?
That's right.
And the kids will say, "They, you know what they said? We'll come back next year." If there's any reparations to be given, you know where it should come from? It should come from the NFL and NBA.
Yeah. That's true, though.
That's why you should be seeking reparations from the NFL and the NBA for what they're gaining off of the utilizing and exploitation of your young black males. And probably will be females. I don't know. I'm just saying.
I mean, you never know.
So that's the kind of stuff I'll be talking about. Here this fool is. Well, I ain't going to call him a fool. I just couldn't stand Obama. Obama didn't do what all people made out that he was going to do. He couldn't do it anyway.
Yeah.
He ain't going to have no bill, especially for black people, like Joe Biden tried to do with that farm bill, talking about he's going to set outside money for black farmers. The court said, well, you're discriminating. It's not the very people that have been complaining about discrimination all through marches, chants, slogans, waving fists, when they complain about what? Discrimination? Now they want programs that's going to benefit them only and not anybody else?
Yeah.
That's discrimination.
Yeah.
It's discrimination like the Congressional Black Caucus got a standing rule that no whites are allowed.
Mm-hmm.
So down in Tennessee, in Shelby County, which includes Memphis, Steve Cohen, which is a white congressman, has been elected by the blacks there because they make up the majority of the constituency in Shelby. They elected him, I think, two terms in a row. I think he came after Harold Ford's, the blacks. So he can't join the CBC in order to be in on conversation and policy that affect, quote-unquote, blacks, which his largest constituency is, because he's white. Don't that sound like racism to you?
That sounds like racism to me. I mean, I don't know what it is. I mean, if it ain't racism, someone please tell me what it is.
So, heck no. Africans need to tell them people that come over there to go to hell. They'll have your kids all messed up. Africa needs education, academics. And the way these coaches have these black kids out on the field at 8:30 at night practicing football when they should be home going doing their homework, you know they don't have no home. They don't take the books home in the hood.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't.
Their homework is out there on the field. Or in the basketball court, shooting free throws. Now, I don't have anything against sports, but it's got to be a balance.
Yeah.
And education should be the most transient priority.
Yeah.
But, oh, no. And, you know, in one high school, Carter Ritter High School, there in St. Louis on Spring Avenue in Enright. I went there because my grandson graduated from there. I looked at the kids out there playing football. I thought I was looking at a grade school. Them kids so little and skinny.
Mm.
And see, the coaches don't allow them to play but that's one sport, either basketball or football.
Yeah. Yep.
Ain't playing no baseball. My grandson graduated LSU with an engineering degree, and he played baseball for LSU, a travel team.
Oh, okay.
I asked him about the players. He said, Papa, I'm talking about the football players. He said, them players don't take no hard subjects. And we're staying the reason, because the NCAA allows you, limits you to 25 hours of practice.
Wow.
Okay. A week. Now, if you're taking some hard subjects, like the math, where Calc 1, 2, exponential, differential, those are 5-credit-hour courses with your physics, your geography, your chemicals, your thermodynamics. The math courses are 5 credit hours. And for you to be able to master that, you need to put in at least 2.5. And if you're coming from some bad background, you need to put in 3 hours per credit hour a week. That's 15 hours. That's on the math, not including the other subjects. So if you add that to the 25 you're going to be doing in practicing football, just on the math, that's 40 hours.
Yeah.
That's a damn whole work job.
Yeah, that's a job. That's what I'm about to say. That's a job.
Then you got to sleep. Then you got to eat. Then you got to go from class to class and transportation. How in the heck you going to be able to do that efficiently? Something's got to give. And you know the sad part about it, when you go to schools, if you're doing some engineering like at LSU, on your orientation day, they have you take a math test. And your math test, you got to score at least a 75.
Oh, wow.
If not, you're going to have to be put back into some remedial mathematics because you're not going to be able to perform at your course math. Were you talking about Calc 1, Calc 2, Calc 3, exponential differentials, exponents? You ain't going to be able to do that if you come in from a bad school background. And we know what the hood is like. Look at Baltimore, 13 high schools. And you only have, what, 18 students out of all 13 of them high schools that could pass a math test proficiently?
I heard it wasn't even that many.
That is sad.
I mean, that's, oh.
That, and you only got historical black colleges that have a graduation rate at any time, 1996, but usually any one time, Morehouse, Howard, Spelman, Fisk, and maybe a couple, 5 of them that had a graduation rate of, in 6 years. 6 years, what does that mean? 6 years, what does that mean? I mean, you're going to pay 50% more for your degree.
Mm-hmm.
Normally,
yep.
It's 4 years. 2 more years is 50% more. And that kid should have been studying and also going through the other exposures that's needed for them to be a very sound, strong student when they reach college. While they was out there at 8:30 at night playing and practicing football.
Yeah.
With some damn coach who want to try to live their life through them kids.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's, oh, gosh, I tell you. And this is
why they're telling something that ain't true. Somebody please correct. I don't want to be the progenitor of false information.
Yeah. And this is why, and see, this is the thing that gets me about pushing these kids, because they're good in sports, they push them through school, and suppose, you know, they get to college, they don't know anything or whatever, and they're out there playing college, they get to the pros, and then they get hurt, then what do they have to fall back on? You know,
they have nothing to fall back on.
Yeah, nothing to fall back on. And I remember a case in Washington, D.C., and I'm familiar with Washington, D.C. because that's where I grew up. This school in Southeast D.C. called Ballou High School. And these people got up on the radio, and they were talking about how proud they were of their graduating class because every last one of them got accepted into college. And I'm sitting there like, wait a minute. A school the size of Ballou, I don't know how many students they have, but it's a fairly good sized school. How in the world 100% of your graduating class gets accepted into college? To me, that's impossible. And so find out there were people that were doctoring kids' grades. Some of these kids had 30 or 40 days absences, and they graduated and made it into college. Heard from a couple of them after that, they were like, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm doing here in college. And these people were pushing them to make the grade so that they could make it to college. And if they didn't make the grade, they doctored their grades to the point where they could be accepted into a school. And these kids, a lot of them, when they got to college, they it was like sending them to the moon. Like, they were like, I don't know what the heck I'm gonna do now. You know, and I said, wait a minute, first of all, how does 100% of your graduating class make it into college? That never happens. I don't even think if the school had only 20 students, 100% of them would go to college.
You say it was Ballou in D.C.?
Ballou, Southeast D.C.
And these was black.
Black. Oh, yeah. Southeast D.C. Wait a
minute.
Blacker than black.
Wait a minute. This is not those rich white families that were buying their kids. You mean blacks do it, too?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that ain't what we heard. That's not the narrative.
Oh, gosh.
You got to be kidding me. I can't believe it. Blacks is doing that, too, which they was orchestrating and putting the narrative out that only whites do it. Rich whites do it for their kids.
Yep.
Well, maybe caller number one wanted to say something. What about that other caller you got on here? What are you talking about?
Yeah, Iredale, you still there? Iredale.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Let me
just say this to the other gentleman. So are you saying that St. Louis, because I have a friend that stays up there, they, in the area, you're saying that none of the schools are good or it's way out of whack, or elaborate on it a little bit?
You probably got two schools in the St. Louis Public School District. It's doing well. One is and I can't even think of.
Right, right.
It's not like you're breaking up. It's not like you're breaking up, Bianchi.
Yeah,
I know.
It is.
I know it was very well. Well, I grew up there. Plus, I built the St. Louis Public Schools.
Bianchi, it sounds like you're breaking up.
Yes. Let me see if that helps a little bit. Go ahead and talk. Let's see if it's settling out a little. It's raining.
Okay. But, in places like St. Louis, Baltimore, I don't even think they have one good school in Baltimore, which just blows my mind. A lot of these schools, a lot of these districts, especially the black run districts and whatever, a lot of their schools are not doing good. They're not performing well at all. And people keep saying there's a lack of resources. They don't have the resources. You got, look, you, we all have the access to the same resources as anyone else. And I don't get, I don't care what your school says. Oh, we can't get this, we can't get that, you know, because me, I believe that a child's education begins at home. It's not the school's sole responsibility to teach your child. They do have some responsibility, but it begins at home. And if you're not at home making your atmosphere conducive for that child's learning, sending them to school really isn't going to help them. Because they'll be like, hey, I don't see the need for school anyway.
You know,
that's why you have a lot of these kids acting up.
You know the key thing you said there? And we got to start talking like it's supposed to be. Say it where it so should be said. You said these black-run school districts. That's exactly what they are.
Yeah.
And they do have the resources. Because I built at least eight new schools in the St. Louis Public School District. And I know that those schools are well-equipped. And
yeah.
You had newspapers to publish what is spent on St. Louis area school. And you got all black school districts that have as much or as more money than some all-white school districts in the area. Now, I'm not blaming the kids, Vincent, to a point. But like Normandy High School, and you let the kids take off a day and all to celebrate George Floyd, that is a waste of time.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Wow. To celebrate,
I don't know what to say, man.
Yeah, basically
I don't know
celebrate
what to
a
say.
Man who was a criminal. Yeah.
The man was a criminal.
Yeah, yeah.
I know, I'd just like to say something. You have, what's the percentage of, if you do make it to the NBA or the NFL, what's the percentage of the kids that actually make it there, too? You got to look at that, too. All them kids that passing through, you know, junior high and high school, how many of them are college, if they get that far? How many of them are going to even make it to the pros? It's probably not even 15%. And you're right, they definitely need something to fall back on. And you are right, so it begins, learning begins at home. Absolutely.
Yeah.
If you're going to charge reparations against the NBA and NFL.
Yeah.
And you
really
want to make it good. Charge reparation at some of them star players. Because they're making all the money. Well, coming up, all those kids that played hard against them in order to provide them with competition to hone their skills, they fell off by the wayside and didn't get a dime.
Yeah.
I tell you something else. This thing now where you're talking about paying players on these college teams for their image and likeness. Well, what about the other players that's out there with their butt tackling, getting their head bumped in, hurting their knee? They ain't getting nothing. So I ask you this, how long do you think that's going to last?
I wonder about that, too. That's a good question.
How long is the team going to be practicing? How long is the team going to be blocking for a star running back who's getting $1 million in endorsement because of what the performance they're able to do, and these other players are the ones that's making it possible for it to happen. They ain't getting nothing.
Yeah. That's true, though. It's kind of a mixed bag in a way, you know. I mean, because one of the excuses that people make is that a lot of these kids, they go to college and they become college stars and they're selling their jerseys in the stores, and they're making money off of their jerseys and everything, and they say these kids need to get paid because, you know, they're just exploiting them, which, yeah, in a way they are. They are. But just like you said, you know, these guys who are blocking for them and everything, nobody says anything about them getting paid. It's always the star athletes, really.
And the money the school is making,
I mean,
is
really,
going toward paying scholarships to other students that's coming to the school and playing in sports that don't draw a crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. Now what?
I mean, it's just a crazy all-around situation, just to be honest with you. You know,
all these narratives you hear, like they're talking about, well, they're trying to stop blacks from voting. Like they used to have a narrative that every 20 years Congress had to vote to give blacks the right to vote. Well, that's a damn lie.
I mean, where they come up with this, though? I mean, for real.
These voting reforms that's going on now, the Constitution gives the right, the rules and regulations for voting. How in the hell are you going to set a rule and regulation that's going to affect just one people? I mean, somebody tell me how that's going to work out. And
yeah.
Then again, too, when you read these reforms basically is coming about because you got something new. You got a new boy on the block. You know who that new boy is? Absentee ballots. Mail-in.
Yeah.
It was never prominent the way it has been in 2020.
Yeah.
Never seen anything like that. And all the information that comes out that leads to corruption, fraud, and stealing is prevalent. So you got to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And I would ask anybody to read these reform laws and point out where it says in the law, we're going to stop blacks from voting.
Really,
blacks can't get ID?
And I'm sitting there like, you know, they supposed to get mad at Georgia because Georgia basically made it easier for people to be able to vote. And so they moved their all-star game over to Colorado, which has more restrictive more restrictive voting rights than Georgia does. And Mr. Biden, our president, the state he's from, Delaware, they have the most restrictive voting rights than any other state in the U.S., but nobody says anything about that. We just want to pick on Georgia. It's Jim Crow 2.0. You can't make this stuff up. I'm like, y'all got to be kidding me.
Yeah, and people are falling for that stuff, man. What about the other callers? Come on, man, jump in. I know you jumping at the bits to comment. Go ahead.
Go ahead,
Ardell. You know, we have problems in this country, and we really don't have time for this foolishness dealing with all these things. We need to get our priorities in order. Like you said, Vincent, homeschooling begins at home. In fact, years ago, they had homeschooling. You know, they had taught things, you know, and make sure you do your homework and they answer math questions or something. If the parents could do that, it helped them at home. It starts with the family union. Then, you know, you're talking about, I never heard so much craziness about voting. You know, in fact, as far as voting is concerned, I think they was all drunk and high off of cocaine or whatever they did before they make some of these laws and rules with voting and everything else along the pipe as far as I'm concerned. I'm through.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of agree with you there, but oh man, I'm in archives now. You all, I gotta get ready to wrap this show up. But let me do my shout outs. I see Flycatch, I see you there in my chat room, and Pianchi and Iredale. Retta was here earlier. I don't know, she probably had to take care of a errand or something earlier, but Yeah, this 2 hours went by so fast. But before I leave, I need to ask Pianki a question. Pianki, how is it that you know all this stuff? I mean, for real. I mean, you are like Sarge. Y'all like walking encyclopedias.
Well, I'm going to put it like this. I'm a natural-born United States citizen, and I will defend U.S. Constitution against enemies abroad and inside this country. And it's my civic duty to know the history of the United States. And the gentleman made a comment about Confederate soldiers. Those were Confederate soldiers. Those were U.S. soldiers that fought in many U.S. wars, which one had to be the Civil War. So when you take down their statue, they ask yourself, well, what about the other war? They don't talk about that. They're hypocrites and they're racist.
Well, that's a good answer. I like that. I'm a U.S. citizen and I take it upon myself to know about this country. See, that's the type of attitude we all need to have. I am a U.S. citizen and whatever I can do to learn about this country, its laws, the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, its founding doctrines and everything, you take it upon yourself to learn that stuff. And a lot of people not doing that. They're not taking it upon themselves. If you ask your typical person, what is the Bill of Rights? They can't tell you that it's the first 10 amendments to the Constitution. They can't tell you. You know, you got kids, you show them I ain't going to say kids. I'll say adults. You can show them a picture of the United States of America, and they don't even know what their country is. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. But yet and still, they can go out here and yell Black Lives Matter and destroy people's stuff and say, you know, black people, we got it bad in this country, but you don't even know what your country looks like. I mean, that's a sad state of affairs. It really is. And it boggles my mind. But like I said earlier in this show, I want my country back. I really don't see if this country is going to come back the way it was or anything like that. I don't know. America might be on its death nail. I hope it isn't. But to me, the 70s and the 80s were a grand time. They were. I mean, we had a lot of stuff going on then. Don't get me wrong. We had a lot of stuff going on then, but nowhere near what we're seeing today. So, but Pianki, Iredale, I want to thank you all for coming on the show. It is always a pleasure. Always a pleasure having you guys on this show. You all keep doing what you're doing and whatever. And next week, I should have another edition of Black by Color Only. Like I said before, in times past, for the past few weeks, things have been going pretty good. But I'm getting a lot of reports from some of my friends that they're finding it hard to do a show on Blog Talk Radio. And I don't want to leave this venue. I don't want to leave Blog Talk Radio. I've been here since 2009. And I do not want to leave Blog Talk Radio, but if it push comes to shove, I might have to move somewhere else. But I will inform you all of that if it ever comes to that, because this is a message that needs to get out. And I'm not saying it for the sake of because I'm the one giving the message or anything, but this is a message that needs to get out because there needs to be more of us who think individually, who go out there and put these messages out to get people to help stop people thinking with this herd mentality that we have in a lot of people in the black race and whatever. And that's why I did this show. That's why I started this show, because I want people to know that, yeah, I'm a black man, but I'm also an individual. But anyway, thank you guys for coming on the show. I got to go. I got something that I got to take care of. Iredale, always a pleasure. Pianki, you keep doing what you're doing. And I will see you all, God willing, next week. This is Vincent E. Brown. I am signing off. And until the next time, I'll see you on the rebound. Y'all have a good Saturday.